1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I'm going to read from Romans 1 in just a moment. 1 Thessalonians 5. These are very quick bumper stickers that Paul throws at the Thessalonians as he closes the first letter to that church. And they're quick sayings that we can remember. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 16. 1 Thessalonians 5:16, rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Would you pray with me for a moment? Lord, our hearts are overwhelmed. The truth is, many of us did not include a lot that we could be thankful for because there's just not enough time to write it down. There's not enough time to read all of them. You have been good to us. We are truly grateful for that. Help us, Lord, to remember and then to reflect the love that you've shown to us in 2021. I ask that you would bless this time as we look in your word. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. We can journey through life angry and proud, and that will manifest itself in slander and division. Or we can become Christians who truly represent the life of Christ. Paul tells the Thessalonians that joy and prayer and gratitude are God's will for you, not anger and gossip and slander. That is the positive approach that God gives us, that approach to life. Someone said Thanksgiving is the language of faith. It's that time when we thank the Lord. And when we do so, we begin to see more clearly what He's actually doing in our lives. The world of the ungrateful is inhabited by demons. Romans chapter 1 is where we're going to look next. Romans 1:21. Thankfulness, firstly, keeps you from going dark. Thankfulness keeps you from going dark. Romans 1, verse 21. Speaking of those who reject God, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Look what happens, verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, how would you retain God? By glorifying Him, by being thankful for Him. They did not like to retain God in their knowledge. God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Like what, Paul? Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. If you didn't get zinged in that, you weren't listening. That is the place that every human goes to when they leave the glory of God. You turn from His glory and seek your own glory and you go dark. We either have a mind that honors and thanks God or we wind up with a reprobate mind full of envy and strife and gossip and slander. The world of the ungrateful is a world of darkness. So if we're not attaining, if we're not moving towards a thankful spirit, then we're slipping towards a reprobate mind. I want you to look, if you would, in John chapter 12. David said, what man is he that desireth life and loveth many days that he may see good? You want to have a long and happy life? He gives us the recipe. Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. So that's right. Tell them. Tell those gossips. Tell those slanderers. They need to stop talking to you. Because every time you complain about something, you are slandering God. You're saying, God, it should not be this way. I didn't say that. It's not God. It's him that's the problem. It's her. If it wasn't for her, I would be thankful. Isn't it amazing how we blame God for the very people that he allows in our lives? You say, well, God didn't put them there. Pray tell, who did? And let me ask you this. Can you get rid of them? Are you able to move them out of the way? Why not? Maybe it is that God has allowed that person. You say, why are you talking? I'm just saying, look, you only have two options. Either you glorify God and you have a mind full of thankfulness for what he's done, or you are slipping towards, Robert Bork wrote the book, slouching towards Gomorrah. You are sliding down to the worst hell. You got to become an intercessor. You've got to be ready to forgive others. You got to be ready to be thankful. Watch what happens here in John chapter 12. Here is the alabaster box of ointment, the very, very precious ointment that is being broken and lavished on Jesus Christ. And John says, then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? Now, look at verse number 4. How many of the disciples said this? One. Then said one of his disciples. Now, we know from the book of Matthew, chapter 26. Flip over there. Verse 7. Matthew 26. You see, what's upsetting Judas here is that Jesus is not performing the way he would prefer. And I'm telling you, Jesus has a way of doing what you don't want him to do. He can irritate you. I thought Jesus was the lowly Galilean, that great shepherd of the sheep. Yeah, he is. He leads the sheep. Not me, not you. Judas says, I don't like what you're doing, Jesus, because I have designs for your ministry. I have things I want you to do for me. And Jesus wasn't buying into that idea. And so Judas said, why was this ointment wasted? What's going on? I'm not bitter or upset. I'm just saying we could have done something a lot better with that money. We could have taken that and hocked it and actually helped people. Now, it sounds a little hollow, doesn't it? Because who permitted this luxury? Jesus did. Who reaped the benefit of this luxury? Jesus did. You see, what Judas had a problem with was Jesus getting glory. He envied. And he slandered. Let's see how it turns out. Matthew 26:7. There came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this what? Waste. In John, Judas says, we could have sold it and given it to the poor. Now, the disciples are saying it's a waste. I believe that Judas is the one that got this thing started. I believe his complaining is what led to the disciples saying, "This, you're wasting your time, Mary. We could have done a whole lot better." You see, the offenses that we do not transfer to God in prayer will decay us. They will poison us in our spirits. And then that poison gets transferred to other people. It's called slander. Well, I would never slander anyone. When you cease to glorify God and you cease to value Christ above other things, above other people, above everything, and you start to see that, you know what? I kind of don't like how Jesus is working. That spirit begins to transfer to other people and you go dark and we feel justified. We feel like we're serving the cause of truth, but we've actually become enemies to the cause of love. You see, Mary did this because of love. And as a result of her bearing her heart, sharing her most precious possession with Jesus Christ, she's slandered and she's attacked as if she is selfish and wasteful, and she's just a shallow woman who doesn't understand the true value, the true economy of the kingdom of heaven. Some of us know what's up in Jesus' ministry. Not like these silly women that come and waste their money on Jesus. You know what Jesus is looking at? He wasn't looking at Judas' great stewardship, which I'm sure that he had. He was the one that kept the bag. He was looking at Mary's great love. It was not a waste. It was not unneeded. It was not unappreciated. See, Mary gave because she was thankful. Judas attacked because he was unthankful. Judas was envious. Thankfulness will keep you from going dark. Look over in John chapter 6, if you would. Remember, Lucifer was able to find fault even with God in heaven. I don't know where you can go and find a better place than heaven. But not even heaven was enough. You see, I'm talking about a very, very difficult thing. I'm not talking about, hey, you need to be thankful. You need to be thankful. I'm talking about why we're not thankful. I would rather just say, let's all be thankful. And I think we are. But the truth is, the reason we're not thankful is because of this. We complain. We murmur rather than glorify God. John 6:41. It wasn't just Judas that was affected by it, but a lot of the leaders and the would-be disciples. This is after the great miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. And now, as he begins to explain the doctrine, not just the miracle of eating food, and that's a blessing, amen. Now he's talking about doctrine. Right? 41. The Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. Now, notice the murmuring here was not, I didn't get anything to eat. The murmuring was not, I don't think he treats us the way he should. It wasn't what we might think of as traditional murmuring. It was actually an attack on what Jesus Christ was teaching them. It was a complaint about the doctrine. And he said, don't murmur. Murmur is a great word. Why? Because it's one of those words that when you pronounce it, it sounds like what it is. Murmur. 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 Right? Look at verse number 60. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they had heard this, Jesus speaking some pretty hard things, they said, this is an hard saying. Who can hear it? Who can hear it? You know, that's what happens when we don't think we can get it. We think nobody else can get it. I'm sorry. But most of the time people say that, they're not really sorry, just to let you in on the secret. I'm sorry. I don't understand, if you know what I mean. I don't get it. Okay? So because I don't get it, no one can get it. I'm sorry. We don't understand what you're saying. Right? You know, that's what we do a lot of times. We cop this idea like we're in charge of the world. Like somehow we've all voted and we don't understand what you say. Right? See, we hide behind the crowd and say, I guess sometimes I just feel like, and it's not like I'm ever really saying it. I just kind of feel, and we all just kind of think that maybe I just, right? Be careful. Because what happens is we hide behind that and we say, it's not just me. All of us have a problem with this. I mean, I think it's time we got some decent roads in Toledo. Right? I mean, it's not just me. Why don't they fix the ice cream machine at McDonald's? I mean, we all, like, we're... Right? And of course, that's ridiculous examples, but if you'll watch yourself, you'll find yourself hiding in the crowd and saying, who can even understand what you're talking about? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend you? The answer is yes. Jesus knew. And watch what Jesus did. Jesus doubled down on the doctrine. He began to teach even more. He didn't back it up. And what he's saying here is, I've got to try to help you understand this. I don't want you to be without understanding, but I can't dumb it down anymore. You see, this point here is thankfulness keeps you following Jesus. Thankfulness keeps you following Jesus. What do you mean? Notice the word that's used in verse 41 and verse 43 and in verse 61. Murmur. Murmur. What's another word for murmur? Complain. What's another word? Gripe. What's another word? There's lots of them. We've got lots. You see, when we would say, well, I'm not complaining per se. Be careful. Because what Jesus is doing here is he is teaching them something that they do not understand easily. And because they do not understand it easily, they push back and say, I don't like it. I don't like it. I'm sorry. They didn't teach me that when I was growing up. Never heard anybody say that. Just, I don't think. And what it was a lack of thankfulness. Let me ask you this. I'd like to think that if Jesus were giving a seminar on the bread of life, I'd like to think I'd be in the front row with my moleskin notebook, taking notes. Yes, yes. Yes, yes. Of course. You know, the truth of the matter is, knowing me as I do, I'd probably get up in the seminar and say, this is ridiculous. What are you even talking about? You say, oh, I wouldn't. I would take it all in. Listen, he's teaching you something right now. What's your attitude? He's telling you something. He's bringing you through a phase in your life. He is putting you in a class. What is he teaching you? What's your attitude towards the teacher? You see, it's easy to say, the problem is him. I mean, none of us get it, right? I mean, is it me or is it him? It's him, right? It's him. It's got to be him. It's not him. It's you. It's me. We're murmuring against the greatest teacher that's ever existed. Why? Because it's hard. It's hard. I mean, if he was a good... My favorite teacher in first grade was so gentle and kind. And just lovingly, not driving me, he lovingly helped me. She was so mother. Grow up, Christian. God is not going to treat you like a kindergartner for the rest of your life. You say, well, I don't know if I want to follow a God like that. Well, you would not be alone if you turned around and walked away. I'm not saying God wants to hurt you. I'm saying God wants you to finish this difficult class. Nobody wants to go through this class. And you have the choice whether you drop out or not. You have the choice to say to God, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. I don't know anyone else who has gone through this. We all don't understand. All of my friends say, listen, guys, it's you and Jesus. And when you're ready to learn from him, he will teach you. But if you don't want to learn the hard lesson, I'm not saying it's not hard. Jesus, he realized what he was saying here. But if you don't want to learn it, you can join those in verse number 66. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. His disciples walked away. Murmuring caused people to stop seeing miracles, to cause people to become offended by the words of Jesus and to stop walking with him. God does not want a murmuring people to represent him on this earth. He wants people who are happy and joyful. When we're habitually complaining and whining, we better be careful. Because unthankfulness makes you go dark. I'm not saying that the thing that you're going through, or the lesson that he's teaching you is easy. But may I remind you, second grade is intentionally harder than first grade. And seventh grade is more difficult than second. And 12th grade actually sometimes is easier. But 11th grade is supposed to be harder. What you're going through right now should be more difficult because you've grown in the Lord. You're further down the tracks. God has honored you by accepting your enrollment in the next level. And here you are. And you want to say, well, I just don't think. I want to go back. I just want to go back. You can't. But you can. Many of his disciples decided to go back. I suggest that you and I declare war on murmuring. I'm not talking about other people murmuring. Talking about ourselves. Declare war on it. An unthankful heart, according to 1 Thessalonians, is an enemy of God's will. You can't do the will of God if you're unthankful. And lastly tonight, I want to take you to Psalm 100. Just give you a thought from Psalm 100. Thinking about Thanksgiving coming up on Thursday, how many of you are going to be with family on Thanksgiving? Raise your hand if you are. I am. They said I could come this year. It's great. Wild horses couldn't keep me away. I don't care what my wife says. I'm coming. Thankfulness. Thankfulness. We're looking at Psalm 100. Verse 4. Let's read it together. Psalm 104. Ready? Read. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Thankfulness preserves relationships. Thankfulness. You know the reason why some of us can't communicate with our loved ones, our relatives? Part of the reason is that we're not thankful for them. You know how you gain access to God? You enter into his gates with thanksgiving. You're thankful for him. You can't enter into his gates and talk with him and fellowship with him if you're so mad at him that you won't even talk to him. If you're pushing him away and saying, God, I don't get it. I don't like it. I don't think it's fair. Or I don't even think you're real. You're not going to be able to fellowship with him. You have to enter into his gates with thanksgiving. And that teaches us a lesson. We gain access and we gain the right to speak into the hearts of those that we love or that we're related to and we're supposed to love through genuinely thanking God for them. You know the best thing you could do in getting ready to see your uncle, your cousin, the weird people that you're related to? You know the best thing you can do is thank God for them. Thank you, Lord. Watch that murmuring heart. Because if you're like me, you might say, thank God for what? What have they ever done all day except sit on the couch and drink beer? What have they ever done for God except just be a complete slob their entire lives? They've never done anything. Listen. Why did God make you? What reason did he have? Was it because you were going to be so amazing? So what did he do while he was waiting until that day for you to be amazing? Like, you're not that great, dude. You're not that great. Guess what? But God decided to make you. And God loves you. And he accepts you. Just like he loves old Uncle so-and-so that's an idiot. And Grandma and your cousins and those people. Why are they in our family? Why are you in your family? God's been good to you. He loves you. He's cared for you. He's brought you along. And guess what? Those people are still sucking oxygen. God wants them saved too. Thank God for those people. Thank God for your daughter-in-law. Thank God for your sister. Thank God for those people that you just can't get along with. Have you ever thanked God for them? Well, I'd thank God for them when they get saved. I'd thank God for them to stop smoking. Isn't it amazing how we tell God what we will be thankful for and when? You tell God, you meet me at this corner and you bring the goods and I'll bring the cash. How about this? God, I don't deserve a thing. I don't deserve to have a family, to have anybody that even knows my name. I don't deserve a house to go to for Thanksgiving. I don't deserve any of that junk. I'm just surprised that I'm even alive. Here I am. Thank God. And then say, God, thank you for the people that you put in my family. Thank you for my neighbors. Thank you for my friends. Thank you for these people, even people that you say, how can I find anything to be thankful for? Listen, you don't have to find reasons to be thankful. You have to be thankful. He said, be thankful unto him and bless his name. God, I thank you for, insert irritating relative. I thank you for that person. I thank you for my spouse. I thank you for my kids. I thank you for my parents. I thank you for my sisters and my brothers. Well, I'll thank God for them when they shape up, you know, because they're not really godly. And if you knew who God... No. God knows a lot about them more than you do. And God said, be thankful. Be thankful. Well, how do I be thankful? I'll tell you how you be thankful. You recognize that God is in control of everything. And that God gave you an opportunity to be on this earth. And God gave that person an opportunity to be on this earth. You're not God. You didn't decide who was born and who wasn't. God decided that. And if God could be so kind and gracious to allow you to live on this earth and to breathe his air, then you can be thankful that God allows somebody else to do the same. If we can keep that understanding that we are entering into his courts, not bringing him into our courts, we are privileged to live in his world. God's created us to be social creatures, and we have a desire for acceptance. Sometimes we desire the acceptance of other people more than we desire righteousness with God. But I will tell you this. If you appreciate your loved ones, if you appreciate those people that maybe you are not really appreciative of, you can help them settle that desire for acceptance. You can tell them, I love you. You see, love is not something that is earned. Love is something that is given. For God so loved the world that he gave. How do you love people that you don't like? Well, humans can't. But God can. God can love people through you that you don't care for. He said, we love him because he first loved us. God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet, insert irritating person, Christ died for us. Christ loves that person. Displeasure, ingratitude, they're like repellent. Relationships. Ingratitude is like spraying God repellent in his face. I don't want anything from you, God. I deserve better. Open up all the gifts. Is this all? There's nothing else, God, that you could give me? What you're saying is, God, I don't like you. I don't accept you. I don't appreciate you. You say, man, this is a hard message. Man, we've got a lot of ingratitude, don't we? We've got a selfish heart that takes all the blessings and then whines and complains. Thanksgiving gives us an opportunity to bring our loved ones closer rather than driving them further away. You say, well, they can't get any further than they are. If you're in the same house, they could get further away. You say, I don't think God can do anything. I'd encourage you to get on your knees and say, God, I don't think I can do anything. I don't think they'll ever change. But I know this. You are God who performs miracles. And I am putting faith in you that you will show me a miracle when I see them again. Well, what if God doesn't do it? He already hasn't done it. Why not have some faith that he could do it? Why not put your faith and say, God, you could restore this relationship. God, you could put us back together in the unity of the Spirit. You know what Jesus said about those disciples who doubted and complained and forsook him? He said, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me. To God in the flesh, the disciples were not always falling short and hindering him in his ministry. He saw them as a gift. As a gift. Did they fail him? Yes, they did. But Jesus was thankful and he treated them with gratitude. He said, Father, you gave me these people. Mom, God gave you those kids. Yeah, they're irritating. Husband, God gave you that wife. Maybe you don't understand her. Wife, God gave you that caveman of a husband. Right? God gave you. They're a gift from God and they are a good gift. Well, I don't think they're good. If God gave them to you, they're good. Because every good gift cometh down from the Father of lights. Ingratitude is all over America. It's the reason why people fight and argue and complain and riot and protest. Believers, we ought to be the happiest, most joyful, earth-shaking individuals that the world has ever seen. We ought to be just so pumped about being alive and being God's. And we ought to be ready to tell other people, you're not going to believe what my God did for me. Yes, he did it physically for some of us. He healed us from cancer. Yes, he did it emotionally for others. He brought me back from the brink of depression and despair. But you know what the greatest gift is? He did it for you spiritually. He gave unto you eternal life and you will never perish. Neither shall any man pluck you out of the Father's hand. Our God has saved us for not just another 25, 30, 50 Thanksgivings and Christmases. He saved us for eternity. Never to die. Never to be separate from our God. Always to be in fellowship with the one who invented Thanksgiving. The one who invented the cause for gratitude. Our God. I think it's time for a fast. Now, not a fast for food. We got Thanksgiving. It's time for a fast from murmuring. Let me challenge you. For the next 30 days, every time you want to complain, you want to murmur, find something to be thankful for. Every time you say, I just can't handle it, surrender to the work of the Spirit and say, God, help me be thankful, show me something or I'm going crazy. And he'll do it. He'll put you, here's the thing to think. What's Jesus Christ like? What is true about Jesus Christ? Start thinking about that. God will start flooding your heart with joy. He'll give you peace. Why? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Boy, that's something that if you were filled with that, your day wouldn't be quite so dark, would it? Make a list of people and things that you're thankful for. Let's put an end to murmuring and complaining. And let's start thinking not about how do I fix this situation or this person. Let's look over and say, God, how can I praise you now in the middle of this thing? God, I'm going to turn this thing around. And I'm going to be thankful. 400 years ago, the first observance of Thanksgiving, 1621. The pilgrims had a very difficult time getting over here from England. Someone said that the Mayflower had a compartment where they were with 200 people, not 200, 80 people in it, that was the size of a volleyball court. And they lived on that thing for 2 months. God brought them through all of that stuff. He brought them through. And the first Thanksgiving was not the year they landed because, frankly, they were trying to stay alive. They weren't thinking about being thankful. It wasn't until a year later. in 16:21, where they said, you know, God has preserved us. God has kept us. He's helped us. And he's given us friends here in this harsh wilderness. Friends like Samoset and Squanto. Those are great names. God used those men. The governor said that Squanto was a special instrument sent of God for our good. Think about the special instruments sent of God for your good this year. There's somebody. He's preserved you for another year. You know what you ought to do? Football is wonderful. I'm going to be watching it. Turkey is great. Deep fried is the best. We're going to have all kinds of food. It's going to be great. Let me encourage you to remember, you've got a lot to be thankful for. Set aside a time when maybe you're by yourself and you're quiet and you're alone and you can meditate for a moment and make a list of things that you're thankful for. And turn to God and say, God, I don't want to go dark. I don't want to turn away from you and walk no more with you. I want to walk right by your side. I want to look in your smiling face. And when I want to see your face smiling at me. And I want to then smile to the people around me because of your smile. Rejoicing in your goodness. Let's bow our heads in prayer.